Hello, everyone. Welcome to our evening service. It's lovely to be with you all. This morning, I had a couple of people actually coming to me after I preached and like, oh, we didn't know you preached. We thought you just did the projector, because in the morning, I've been doing the projector. So if you're new and this is the first time you're seeing me preach, my name is Anneri. I do preach. I don't just sing and do the projector, but we'll get to that as well. But for tonight, this is the first service to the beginning of our Welcome Home series. And we're so excited just to see what God is going to do in the next 3 weeks. And I really have an expectation for this whole thing of welcome home. And what does that mean? And what is it that God wants to say to each of us through that? And I really just felt sure, Matthew, it felt like you just took my whole sermon and put it into song, so praise the Lord for that. The table is ready, let's sit at his feet, let's receive from him tonight, and let's really come with an expectation. So before we do that, I want to quickly just focus, we've got two people that's moving away, and I was going to do it at the end of the service, and now I felt I wanted to do it now. So can I ask Andre and Christy to quickly come to the front? Quickly. And then I'm going to just ask you to just maybe just come here so they can see you. I'm going to ask you just to quickly say where you're going and what you're going to do there and what it is that you're standing in faith for in going there. Okay, so I'll give it to Christy first.
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm heading out to Norway, which is pretty far, and in Oslo in particular. I will be working in a prison. I'll be rehabilitating parole mates for the last 3 to 6 months that they're serving their term, using drama and theater to build a story around their lives. It's a 6-month program, and then they get to perform it for their colleagues and for their colleagues. Yeah. their family and their friends. So it's a pretty bold step out. It's not a mission, and it feels a little bit like it. So yeah, it's completely out of my frame of reference, and I'm really standing in faith that God has provided this opportunity for me to bring his light to them and bring change and hope in a place that's incredibly dark. And most importantly, to learn why it's so successful there. Norway has some of the most successful prisons in the world. They've even had to close some of them down. Wow. So, is to learn, obviously, and then, of course, to bring it back here. Okay.
Well, unlike Christy, I'm moving back to Durbanville. You don't need a passport to go there, I promise. Yeah, I stay in Durbanville, and I got at the end of last year, I got a job in Stellenbosch. And so the commute to here and to Stellenbosch was just getting a bit too hectic, and I just felt like coming home, the Lord said, you need to go back to your community and plant yourself there. It's extremely hard because my family is here. So I'm standing in faith for the Lord for a new family. My sister and myself and everyone, I just love you guys so much, and I'm not going away forever, so I'll see you guys still, but yeah, if you guys can just pray for us, that, yeah, that we get a new family.
Won't you just stand with me, with us? Murray, can I ask you to also come wrap your arm that way around? And then just as a symbol that we're sending them and that our hearts are with them and our blessing is with them, we stretch out our hands to them. Obviously, Mary and I's arms are physically around them. And it's just a way for us as a family to say we send you as a family and that we our faith goes with them, our hope goes with them, and our blessing goes with them. So, yeah, Father, we just want to thank you for these two beautiful daughters. Father, thank you for the time and the season that you gave them to us, lent them to us, Father. Thank you for both of their testimonies, Father. I'm just thinking, Christy, that actually got saved here, Father. Andre, that came in here, and her smile and her personality and her heart that just served so many people, Father. Thank you that they really left a mark here, and that they will not be forgotten. And so, Father, we come and send them now in your love, Father. We send them by faith. We thank you for what they are standing in faith for. And we come alongside them now and say, Lord, as part of our family, we send them now to their new family. And we say, Father, may this season that is awaiting them really be with open arms, Father, that they will go and build up. They will go and raise up. They will go and plant seeds. They will leave an aroma of who you are wherever they go. And thank you, Father, for just this big things that they're willing to do, the sacrifices they're willing to make and say, I want to go and establish a community where I'm going. I want to go and establish relationship and home. And so, Father, we stand with them in faith, in celebration of what they want to go do and how they're going to do it. And we are so looking forward to every testimony and every breakthrough that will come from this. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Sure. All right, so what I want us to quickly do, just so, because I'm feeling very teary now. That was not... Let's just lift the mood. So in a week's time, today, in a week, it is... Yes. Yes, it's Valentine's, okay? The happiest of holidays, okay? It isn't. It actually isn't a public holiday even. It's sad, okay? So what I want you to quickly do, just for fun, it's cheesy, this is just to break the ice a little bit. I want you to turn to one another in groups of two or three, and I want you to share that fond memory that you have of Valentine's Day, preferably an embarrassing one, and I want you to quickly just share with one another. It can even be when you were 10, if that's how far back it goes. Quickly, 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 I want you to share. Okay, you can slowly start finishing up. Yes, I wish I could be a fly in all these conversations right now. I would love to hear. Yes, I'm going to. Yes, Ziggy, prophetically, yes, I was going to share my own story as well. So I won't leave you hanging. So mine, that I can share... who of you obviously, or not obviously, who of you know the school, Grey College, Bloemfontein? Hey, there's so many jokes about you should know them, and obviously know them. Let's not go there. So, I was in Bloem in Oranje Macy School, and every year you were invited to go and sing at Grey on Valentine's Day. And so it was quite a big event, and that year, it was my standard 8 years, so I was 16, and our vocal group got invited. Now, it's really stressful if you go into a hall where there's almost over 1,000 boys in blazers, sitting really close to one another and right against the stage, and you have to walk in as a 16-year-old girl. And every girl here understands that feeling. I don't know what it is, but it's like the fear of everything comes over you. And then this rumbling starts among the guys. I always wish I knew, what is that? What is that? Okay. But there's a rumbling, okay? And my poor brother was in standard six at the time, so he was dying. He was literally sitting like, oh, my sister's on stage, okay? So what happened was, Meneer Volsteert was the principal at the time. And if you knew him or you knew of him, you know he's a scary person. Very, very scary. So we came, we stood in a little half circle thing. And in the process, we were standing in a way that I couldn't see that Mr. Volsteert was standing at the podium with one of the rugby guys that did something amazing over the weekend, and now he's going to celebrate him. And I didn't see that. And all we were thinking is, we want to sing now, and these guys are not shushing. They keep talking. So I looked at the group, this was on me, and said, we're just going to sing now. We're going to start. So we start singing, and then the principal in front of everyone said loudly over the mic, you will not sing. I am the principal. I will tell you when you can sing. And I nearly died. And 1,000 guys, canning themselves. Okay, and you're 16. That's about the worst it can get, all right? You don't get asked to the gray ball after that. It's over, okay? So that was very embarrassing. Okay, so point being, whether we love or hate this holiday, all right, whatever our relationship is with this holiday, there's something about love that makes the whole world want to celebrate this ridiculous holiday, okay? Everyone has something inside of them that is fascinated by the whole concept of relationships and love, all right? And so this is the one time all over the world, no matter what religion you are, no matter what country or what you think about politics or what you think about work or anything, everyone can agree what this world really needs is love. It's the one thing no one's going to disagree. No one's going to say, no, we don't need love. Everyone's going to say, yes, we need love, and maybe world peace, but yes, we need love, okay? And it actually, what's beautiful about it is that it says so much about who we are as human beings, what God has instilled within us, whether we know him or not. Because there's something inside of us that gets excited about a very cheesy holiday, and hopefully other times of the year as well, this thing that is love. And I love this verse in 1 John 3, verse 1, that it says, what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. I want us tonight, before we even start, we're going to pray just now again, because I really felt, I forgot to say it this morning, and I'm not going to forget again. No baby brain tonight. I want us tonight, as we hear this sermon and as we prepare our hearts, I want you to actually come before the Lord and say, God, this is a new year. This is a year that there's a lot of possibilities. And a lot of us look back at the previous year and we go, man, you know, I was so busy. There were so many things that I did, mostly work. And the one thing that always gets lacked or the most affected by our busyness is our relationships. And then in our New Year resolution, if you're that kind of person that does that, you'll write, this year I'm going to spend more time with people or that person or my family or whatever, okay? And then halfway through the year, we know, what happened? I'm so busy. So many of you have already spoken to, just this month has been crazy, okay? And we haven't even started the year properly. But in order for us to get the heart behind this message tonight, I want you to really put your faith out there that the Lord is going to bring you something revelational in your heart. That it's not going to be, okay, Andrea is going to give us a message and we're going to pray and I'm going to go home. That it's really going to be, Lord, I want to hear, I want to get this tonight. I want to hear your heart. And so I'm going to ask you, if you don't have like these people here in the front, little notebooks with pens, I want you to take out your phone or something that you can take notes with, because something God said to me while I was preparing the sermon is this is, it's a big thing. It's a very simple concept, but it's a big thing that we need to understand. And it's not going to just happen tonight. This is something that God wants to take into your week. This is what I felt he said. I want to take it into your week. And I want you to go and meditate on this. And I want you to pray about it. I want you to make it your own. I want you to spend time on this. And tonight there's going to be specific moments where God is going to hand you keys. And I want you to write that down and take it into your week and actually stand in faith that it will become real to you. It will be a revelation that changes the way you look outwardly. Okay. So, Father, we come and bring our hearts before you. We say, Lord, we don't want this to be just another Sunday where we sit and we listen and we go home. Father, not any Sunday for that matter. Father, but tonight, as we focus on the beginning of this Welcome Home series, Lord, we want to say, Father, come and change our hearts. Come and change our beings about what it means to love and be loved, what it means to have a relationship and what it looks like, what it says about us and what it says about you. And so, Father, I come and stand in faith now for every person here tonight, as they're busy taking notes, as they're listening, that there will be very specific moments that will be like a light that shines, that goes, this was something I know I have to remember. I need to go think about this. That it will be so clear that they will not miss it. And Lord, we stand in faith together tonight for this week, that we will continue this process where we spend time and actually receive what it is that you want for us individually, but also what you want for us as a church. And everyone says, amen. Okay. So now, I want to quickly ask, who here has been in Cape Town for less than a year? Quite a few. Don't be scared, put up your hand. Who? Okay. All right, quite a few people. Okay. So one of the things that's quite scary about coming to a new city, whether you've been here for 2 days or a week, where's he? Hello, a week. Or whether maybe you've been here just under a year. It's scary to go somewhere new and the concept of having to start over again. Like Christine and Andre now, there's a catch-22. I'm so excited to go, but I'm so sad to go. Because you've made a community where you lived. You've built a life. You've built relationships. You've invested in the church that you were in. And now you come to Cape Town, wherever you came from, and it's this whole of anything can happen. And there's no one of us that comes here not hoping to build a community, to have relationship, to have a family, the way that they said, now crying here, this was my family. No one comes here not desiring that. But the problem is coming into the big city a lot of the times is we lose that, either because we get too busy or because we fall into this trap of it's cliquey and we don't have time. We just hang on to one other person and we get through our year, 2 years, 3 years that we're here and we move on. And it's almost like we forget that initial desire that was put in us for that love, for that relationship. And I can testify to you coming from, moving from Bloem to Pretoria, then moving from Pretoria to Cape Town, and seeing different communities, because it's very different, okay? When I came to Cape Town, it was hard. I'm not gonna lie about it. It was very hard for me, because I'm used to a different culture. I'm used to a very Afrikaner culture. I'm used to you have to drive far and everyone bras together for the whole Saturday because that's what you do. I'm used to we go to the rugby, even though I don't even like rugby, but you go to the rugby. And there was all these things that was part of my community culture and that established in me what it is to have relationships. And I had to rethink that and redefine that when I got here. And I'm so glad Cara was actually here tonight, because Cara was actually my first friend that I made in this church. And it was because God had said to her, you need to contact me. And on the very same night, God said to me, I must contact her. And so we literally at the exact same time contacted one another. And the most funny thing was then we ended up going for coffee and we both had the same scarves on. I don't know. So you're like, okay, this is supposed to be. And even that is scary. That first coffee, like, what is this person going to say? Are they going to reject me? Is it going to work? Are we going to gel? What if this is my friend for life? We're buddies forever. Or what if it's kind of, okay, awkward. We love the Lord. You know? Okay? And I really don't want to focus on a romantic side of it. I want to focus on the friendship side. I want to focus on family. I want to focus on... That's God's heart, for us to come into church and go to a new city and build family and be a part of a family. And that is our heart for Welcome Home this year as well. In what does it mean to say welcome home? That you are welcomed into a home. And if you've been here for less than a year, that is what we're going to stand in faith for you. Perhaps you've been here for this year and you still don't feel like this is your home yet. Then we're going to trust for that together, because that's what family does. We stand in faith like we did now, and we say, we send you, we go with you, we're excited with you. So we're going to say, you've been here for a year, we're going to trust for you to be at home here, that this will be your family, okay? So now getting back to my sermon, that was a very long introduction, I apologize. Tim Keller, I love Tim Keller, you know that by now. He says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved by someone is like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us from any difficulty life can throw at us. Okay. So I want us to hear tonight, firstly, that there's something that God has made inside of us that wants and desires relationship. That is why each of us come here with an expectation and a hope for that. Because we want to be fully known. We want to be fully loved. And I'm not talking here about in a marital context. Yes, this is where I got it from, a marriage book. But we have a desire to be fully known and fully loved. So to understand this, to understand where does this come from and how does it work and what does it look like, I'm going to go through 3 points tonight, and I want you to see it as 3 keys. And if you forget everything in between, it's okay. I just want you to remember the 3 keys. So key one comes Genesis 1 verse 26. It says, then God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God bless them. I want us to stop there. Then God said, let us. Who's us? Who's us? Trinity, who's the Trinity? I can't hear, sorry. Thank you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We all know this, okay? God says here in the beginning, and I love this. Go and read through it. He says the whole time, it says, God said, let there be light. God said, do this, and he was blessed, and he goes through all this. Then it gets to this point, and it says, then God says, let us make man in our image. All right, now this is very important. If you're not getting this, I'm going to say it a couple of times, because this is the first key and the most important key about getting this relationship thing. We need to first understand, when God created us, each of us, man and woman, he said, let us create them in our image and our likeness. And it's imperative to understand that he said us, that God is Trinity. God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, he is relationship. God in himself is community. God is family. Are you hearing this? Okay, I'm going to say a couple of times, and somewhere it'll start coming to you, all right? So God, who is relationship, who is community, who is family, says, let us create this human being, not just in the way that it should look, but in who this person will be, the nature of who we are. And do you know what that means? That means that God is also saying, as much as I am relationship and I am community and I am family, I've made you to have the same nature. I want you to also have a desire in you, because you are made of me. It's the same thing when God says, be holy for I am holy. It is who he is. And his desire is that we reflect who he is. And so now this beautiful start, the beginning, where it says how he created us, starts with, I want you to understand, yes, I created you, and there's a lot of facets to you because there's a lot of facets to me. God cannot be put in a box. He's not just one thing. He isn't just relationship either. It's just amazing. But there is this part of him that is absolutely relationship, that is community. And he made us to also be in the same nature, to have a desire for community. That's how he created us. That's what he created us for, okay? And if the more you start thinking and praying about this, it changes the way that you look at what God made you to do and what you're supposed to be and how you live your life. That's why I love what Christy said now about she's going to go there and she's going to do all these things and they're going to build relationships, and Andre said the same thing. It's such a natural response. Because that is who God is. It is a reflection of his own heart. Again, Tim Keller just says it so well. We believe the world was made by God, who is a community of persons who have loved each other for all eternity. You were made for mutually self-giving, other-directed love. I want to read that again. You and me were made for mutually self-giving, other-directed love. And therefore, self-centeredness destroys the fabric of what God has made. Because it's not who he is. God is not selfish. God is not self-focused. God is not self-centered. His whole being is one of love. So much so that he sent his son to make sure that we can have relationship with him. That's how high of a priority this was to him. And if you read through the Bible, you'll see there's so many verses that goes back to this one thing, relationship. But we first have to understand the God who made us, our maker, the one that we worship, it's who he is. And that means we are the same. We have been made into his image, into his likeness, into his nature. Now I want us to look at 1 John 4 verse 17 that says, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and matures in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day, or standing in the world as identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life is one not yet fully formed in love. And now this is the key. We, though, are going to love and be loved. But first, we were loved. Now we love. He loved us first. Really important. This is the Message translation. That's why it's reading so relationally, okay? But go and read any of the other translations. It says the same thing. I want you to really hear this. This does not just apply to that moment that you said, Lord, I want a relationship with you. Yes, this is what it's referring to, and it's saying, he loved us first. He made the first move. He sent his son. He showed and proved his love to us. He gave us a way to come into his throne room and love him forever. But that's not where our relationship with God stops, does it? It doesn't stop there. Our relationship continues, just like any relationship. If all Gar and I had was that one coffee date, then that's not really a friendship, is it? And we have to check in with each other a lot and say, how is this going? Maybe not going good this year, maybe going great this year. But we have to constantly fight for it. It's exactly the same with God. But now I want you to hear this. First we were loved. Now we love. He loved us first. Before we even look at how am I friends with other people and how can I build a community here and how can I make this my family, we first have to understand that we first need to be loved in order to love. And this can only happen, and Bernie said it so well last week, when we go into the throne room of God and we spend time with him, like really spending time with him, and we walk out of there. And I remember last week the reference was obviously about coming out then with boldness and in authority and in a prophetic urgency. But the same thing applies for this, for love. Because if you spend time in God's presence and you spend time with the God who is relationship, who is love, that perfect love makes us completely full. Because in the throne room of God, we are first loved. And this is something I got wrong for years. For years. Because I read the Bible, I need to make this work. I need to go to Gerda and I have to be a friend. I have to make it work. I have to strive. And then I make so many mistakes and I have to go back again. And relationships for me was exhausting because I kept saying, Lord, I'm trying. And your word says, I must love my neighbor. And by our love for one another, everyone will see that we're disciples. And it becomes this condemning message. But what am I doing wrong? Me, 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 me. Work, 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 work. Strive, 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 strive. From flesh, I'm trying to get this to work. Because why? And this, sorry, it's not so light, you can't see, but you all know the scripture very well. Perfect love, what? Exactly. But what is perfect love and how do we get it? Because if I can't receive that perfect love, I'm constantly going to come to Gerda with a fear-driven, this has to work. And love that's fear-driven, okay? Only God, who is the God of relationship, can give me a love that is perfect and can fill me up in a way that is perfect. And show me what relationship is. Because think about it. If I spend time with God, I'm spending time with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I see what relationship should look like. I see the perfect example of love and relationship. And that's what I do when I spend time in God's throne room. And when I come out from that place, I'm filled. So when I go to Gerda, I don't strive and I don't need from her because my perfect love comes from the Lord, not from her and not from me either. We're two flawed people that can never have a perfect relationship. But because I'm already full of what it can look like and what it should look like and I've received that love, I can come to Gerda and love her supernaturally from a place that is not fleshly. Are you with me? Yes. John Piper. There is nothing more thrilling than experiencing the love of God so deeply that it spills over into our relationships. Being so deeply transformed by the love of God within that we live the supernatural love of God without. Don't you love it when you find someone that says exactly what you want to say, just 10 times better? Take a photo of that. That's everything I just said, but better. Okay. That is beautiful. He's basically saying exactly the same thing. Being so deeply transformed by the love of God within. That's now speaking of that time that I'm spending with God. Allowing that relationship in my life. That the result of that is I live the supernatural love of God without. Can I please just get an amen? Do you know how much pressure that takes off us? As a church, as a family, as a married couple, as friendships. Because all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, it's not up to me to make this work. I need to go to God and be filled up, and that will then spill over into the relationships that I have. And I'm talking now about relationships within a believer's context. Because when you have a relationship with someone who doesn't know the Lord, we have a lot more grace. But the sad thing is, for me, a lot of times we find in church that we get more hurt than outside of church. And on the one hand, I get it, because we all come here with a genuine, authentic desire to want relationships with people that also know the Lord. And that means it's messy. And that means it's not going to be perfect. But the only way we can also have grace with one another is if we take that desire to have a perfect relationship to God first. And allow Him to love us and allow Him to have a perfect relationship with us and then step into our communities. Okay, did you get that key? This is a big key. Otherwise, you're not going to get the rest of the message. Amen? Okay, 1 John 4 verse 7. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Okay? Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God because God is love. Here's the third key. So, you can't know Him if you don't love. This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Now, this is that moment where, exactly like with the Trinity, if you start thinking about it too much, it becomes a little bit gray. Okay? It just becomes, it breaks your brain almost. You're like, it's too difficult to understand. Because God is God, but He's also the three in one. And if you think about it too much, it's just too much. Okay? One day in heaven, we're going to just supernaturally get it. I can't wait for that. All right? This is that same thing. Because what was the first thing? First, we understand that who God is relationship. Second thing, God says, you must be loved by me first. First you love, then you go and be loved. Okay? And by doing that, you come to me. So there's already this community between you and God. But now the same word is saying to us, but you can't know God if you don't love. So now we're full circle. This is now that don't think about it too hard. This is a revelation moment, okay? Here's what God wants us to hear. Yes, by spending time in His throne room, you will get to know Him because you will get to know the nature of who He is, and that will spill over into other relationships. But while spending time with Gerda, I get to know God back. And it's this, the whole time. The whole time. Have you ever thought about the fact that yes, God sent you here, and yes, you have an expectation for friendships and community, and that's our heart as well. But have you ever thought about the fact that maybe God has also sent you here because He has put you among people so that you may know Him? Ah! So excited about this, sorry. But this just changes everything because all of a sudden, there really is no space for fear and there's no space for condemnation because it's all about God. It starts with Him and it ends with Him. And it's not about I need to have friends or I must make this happen or I must be a good Christian and do what the Bible says. It's all about God. And God's heart, first and foremost, is that we may know Him. And isn't it beautiful that He even wants us to know Him through relationships that are always going to be flawed and messy and not perfect? And that changes the way I think about our neighbors. It changes the way I think about work. It changes the way I think about when I go to the gym and I have to join the splash class. I'm not allowed to go to the tough and rough classes with my pregnant belly anymore. So I'm with lots of older ladies, and I have to see that differently now. And I'm going, Lord, obviously, what must I see about you through these ladies that are swimming next to me, okay? When I come to church on a Sunday, instead of being so self-focused, because we've just heard that by doing that, we're going against the nature of God. Instead of coming in here and so stressed about what if no one greets me, what if I can't see someone, what if I don't get a good seat, you actually come with, Lord, by meeting anyone tonight, I'm going to have a moment where I get to know you. It just changes everything. And that is why God, who is the God of gods, is also the God of relationship, and He knew this. He knew that we needed to get this because it's impossible for us to say we as a church family will have relationship if it's completely driven by fear or completely driven by works or completely driven by past experiences. It can only be driven by a God whose love is perfect for us and a drive that wants to know God more. So I spend time with people because I want to know God more. I spend time with God because I want to know God more. Did you hear that? So I know I've got lots of quotes, but it was one of those, thank the Lord, I have people that I can refer to that says things amazingly. Last quote of the night. Summary, it's like John Piper summarized my whole sermon. Loving each other is the living evidence that we are born of God, that we are his children, that we share his nature, that we know him. It is the outworking of God's love within us. It's the work of his saving presence made visible. I spent this whole week reading the same verses over and over and over until this penny dropped, like hard. Because I know this. I get it. But I needed to get it here, and I needed to really get God's heart. Because I am someone that can very easily go, because of past experiences, I'm not even going to bother. Or because of a relationship right now that's maybe not working as easily, I'm just not going to bother. That's not who God is. And if I or someone that considers myself a worshiper, that goes against how God made me. Because I cannot say I worship him and I know him if I don't want to know his people. But all of a sudden, it's not about I have to get this right. This is about I want you to know me. And that's why I want you to get this right. Because of us, because of our relationship, firstly. And that for me is beautiful because it's so against everything that the world says. The world says to us it's always about you and what you get or what other people get out of you. It's so the opposite. And even a cheesy holiday like Valentine's Day can now look completely different. To know the God of relationships so that it will spill out over into every relationship I have and I encounter. Father, thank you for every hand that is up tonight. I bless them. Thank you for the courage and just the boldness and the conviction that goes no more. Because I want to know God. I want to love people so that I may know God. I want to love and be loved. And so, Lord, I pray over every hand tonight in the name of Jesus that their hearts tonight will be transformed into the likeness of your heart. That they will have a desire, first and last, full circle, to come into the throne room and say, Lord, I want to know the God of relationship. Show me what perfect relationship looks like. Show me what perfect love looks like. This year, 2016, is the year that I will enter into the throne room and know who God is and know who I am because of it. And I will walk out loving people because you enable me with your perfect love. Every hand, Father, tonight is a representation of people standing in faith, not in work, not in flesh, not in striving, but in faith that ultimately this is about their relationship with you, a deepening of understanding of a revelation of a relationship with you. And so, Father, I bless them. I celebrate with them tonight. I thank you for their hearts. Thank you for hearts that want to know you. Thank you for hearts that deeply want to know you. You can put down your hands. And so, Father, as we end off tonight, we just thank you for this series. We thank you for a series that is here to remind us why you are welcoming us home in different facets, in different ways. And thank you for tonight that you welcome us home into your throne room and you welcome us home into your community. And we thank you for a year that will be a year where me and my house will know the Lord. Where this house, this church, this family will know the Lord because we are loved and we love. Everyone says, amen.